Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Well, good morning. My name is Josh. I'm the student ministries pastor here at Center Church. Man, how y'all feeling? Good? Oh, how y'all feeling? Good? There you go. That's a lot better, man. Shout out to all my brown people out there. That's fun. That's true. I don't know why. They just seem to congregate. They smell lumpia and pancit on the way. But man, you look good. Thanks for coming out. Shout out to everyone listening in via YouTube or podcast. You picked a great weekend to join us because I'm here, and that means it's just going to be outdated jokes, stories about Filipinos and basketball, but we're so glad that you guys came today. We're wrapping up our series, Lionhearted, where we've been studying the life of Daniel, and I believe that all of us, no matter where you are on the continuum of faith, whether it's your first encounter with this whole church thing, or you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, I know that one time or another, you face some struggles that have left you feeling defeated. Things that you've experienced that make you wag your tail between your legs. The things that sometimes gets the best of us. Maybe you've even, quote unquote, bowed down to some of these struggles. You gave in to them. A feeling of depression that comes over you. You struggle with that. And you just bow down to that, like that feeling just whisk you wherever it wants you to go, and you just give into it. For some of us, it might be an addiction that keeps creeping up back into our day to day, or just an area in your life where you've allowed yourself to be influenced or shaped by the culture around us that's currently shifting away from God. What I love about this series is that it's so countercultural. And we've been seeing how Daniel, he went against the grain and he stood up for God even when it was unpopular. When those around him, they bowed down to statues and idols that were opposed to God, Daniel decided that he was going to stand up. He decided that he was going to be strong and solid in his faith. He was resolute. He was lion-hearted. And that's what the study is all about. The big picture to grasp here is that there's going to be things that will happen around us. Sometimes there's things that happen to us. And in those experiences, sometimes that can leave you feeling weak. Sometimes those experiences that we face, it can leave us feeling overwhelmed. It can leave us feeling defeated. But that's a big old booty, okay? But God gives us grace to not only overcome these things, but he lets us, or he gives us the ability to live lion-hearted while we do it. We don't have to cower. We don't have to have the Eeyore attitude like, oh, what's going to happen today? I'm barely making it. What's going to happen tomorrow? We barely survive. We don't have to live that way. And I truly believe that God does not want you. He does not want me to operate that way. And we see a great example of this in the life of Daniel. In this series, we've tackled some heavyweight things already, like in week one, standing firm in a shifting culture. Man, I want to encourage each and every one of us, if you have not listened to those messages, go on the podcast, go on YouTube, look up Center Church SD, and listen to some of these things. They're really good. Week two, we talked about living a stand-up life to a bowed-down culture, a bowed-down world. Then on week three, we talked about overcoming the me monster within us and having this turning point where we put away or we go away from an old lifestyle and we grab hold to a new one in Jesus. And last week, we unpacked how our actions are actually more important than what we say. And as we wrap up this series, we'll look at an event in the Bible where this guy, Daniel, he was thrown into a lion's den because he stood up for his beliefs in God. Some of you may have never heard this story before in your life. You're kind of new to this whole Jesus thing, and that's okay. But for some of us who grew up in Sunday school, like the real Sunday school, the red punch cookies passing out Sunday school. Any old school Sunday schoolers out there? Okay, cool. Oh, just a few of us. That's all right. Well, if you came from the real Sunday school, the OG Sunday school, this is going to bring back a little some memories for us today, because I'm about to take us back. And if you grew up like I did, man, you learned about Daniel, the OG way, the old school felt boards way, man. Any old school felt board Christians out there? Yeah, there's some of us here today. Man, the characters are barely hanging on to that, man. It's like, Sister Mary, geez, stop thrifting these things, you know? Goodness. Like, all the lines just looked warped because they're like leaning forward in continual prayer. Like, goodness gracious. If you don't remember that, all right, if you didn't grow up like I did, that's fine. Let me read it for us. It's going to be in Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10. It'll be up on the screens. And this is what it says. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." Verse 13. "Then they said to the king, 'Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day.' When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, 'Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed.'" Like, they're saying, "Hey, king, remember, this is the law. We cannot change this. And somebody's breaking that law, and his name is Daniel." Verse 16, it says, "So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you.' A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation may not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him." He's like, "Yo, hey, no burritos, no carne asada, no Netflix. I need to concentrate here. One of my friends is in the lion's den." He could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel with an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel. He shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." I love this in verse 23. This is what it says. "The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God." I love that. I love Daniel's confidence. I love how even in the midst of possible physical harm, Daniel chose to stand up for God. I could imagine when they open up the den, they just see Daniel like riding on a lion, looked like an Old Spice commercial. Daniel straight up pulled a Terry Crews, man, just shirt off, abs out, just riding on a lion, brushing its hair. The king's like, "Hey, Daniel," he answers, "You rang?" He's there, and he's okay. That was a JP translation, by the way. But he was there. No wound on him. God kept him safe. At this point, everyone who was against Daniel, they were probably annoyed already. They were trying so hard to end Daniel's life, but realize it never works. They were probably not so surprised anymore. If you remember back in week number one, we read about it. They tried to change Daniel's name. They tried to control him by changing Daniel's name and changing his identity, but they failed. They try to make Daniel's friends bow down to worship a statue of the king, and they failed. So what do? They threw these guys into a fiery furnace. They tried taking their life. They tried burning them alive, and they failed. Daniel's friends, they walk out safe. No scratches, no wounds on them, no burns. And now they open up the lion's den just to find Daniel, as the scripture says, with no wounds found on him, because he trusted in his God. I love how strong Daniel's faith is, and I don't think that this came as a one-timer. I don't think this came as a one-off deal. You see, he was prepared for the lion's den. He was prepared for this lion's den experience. He's been in this type of faith-stretching situation before. He knows that familiar feeling of fear. He's been there. He's done that. And this is what made the difference. Go in and look at your notes. Daniel's faith in the den was built on God's faithfulness in the furnace. Daniel's faith in the den was built on God's faithfulness in the furnace. You see, Daniel's faith, it was tested before, and he stood up. Daniel faced some hard opposition, and he decided that he was going to trust in God no matter what. He was bold for God. He understood that God delivered him before and that he was going to do it again. His faith in the den was built on God's faithfulness in the furnace. You know, I have this notebook that I keep with me when I spend time with God. When I have my devotional time, like just a quiet time where God kind of challenges me when I read his word, and I open it up and I see things here from like a couple years ago. Sometimes I write things where I feel that God was testing me in times where I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going to get through. This is like a real hard experience for me. And as I look at some of those times, I remember how I felt. I remember feeling a lot of fear. Like, God, am I going to get through this? Like, why is this happening to me? Why don't I have a job? Why did I leave such a good one? And now I have nothing, and I got to go back to school, and blah, 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 and all these things that happen. And it's funny, when I look forward to some times where I spent time with God again, now after that experience, that Lion's Den experience for myself, and I see the faithfulness of God and how he brought me through. And I kind of remember how it felt to be in that time, and then I flip forward, I'm like, wow, God brought me through this really hard thing that at that time, I wasn't sure if it was all going to work out. And it's funny, I let me read some of the stuff I put in here. From a couple years ago, I put, God, would you provide for me and Brianna's wedding? Like, Lord, I'm broke. Help, please. I ain't got nothing. I got lumpia and rice. Lord, what are we going to do? Just can't do anything with that. And I it's funny. And obviously, we're married. And I put, give me an apartment. Just give it to me, please. I need one. Give me an apartment. And God provided for that. And funny enough, I actually look at one of these things I wrote 2 years ago above that. I put, God, help me become a lion in my faith. Help me become a lion in my faith. And it's so awesome to actually look at these pages and see a lot of experiences that they weren't really fun when they happened. They were really hard times that I don't know if we're going to pay the rent, but God came through, always came through. And it's so good to see God's goodness in those areas of my life. And I don't know what Lion's Den experience that you're currently facing in your story. I don't know what way God's been speaking for you to be bold for him in your life, in what areas of your reality that you're being challenged to stand up, to live a faith-filled life for him. I don't know what that looks like for you, but can I encourage you with something this morning? God's delivered his people before, and he wants to do it again for you. He wants to do that in your life. This is not in your notes this morning, but I love what Psalms 46, verse 1, it says this. God is our refuge, a strength and ever-present help in trouble. Notice it doesn't say there's never going to be any trouble. Notice how that verse says, it doesn't say that there's never going to be any fear. Lots of times we experience trouble. Lots of times we know that feeling of fear, we feel it. But during those times, he promises to be there with us and to deliver us in the way that he chooses when we trust in him. I love what somebody once said one time. Maybe you need to write this down in your margin. Peace is not the absence of fear, but the presence of God. Peace is not the absence of fear, but it's the presence of Almighty God. This is also not in your notes, but I love what Deuteronomy says about this in Deuteronomy 31 in verse number 6. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Notice that he goes ahead of you. He already knows what's ahead. He knows that hard moment that you're going to go through. He knows that scary faith-building moment that you're about to enter. He knows. He already went ahead of you. And when we experience these lion-den moments, stop and think for a moment about everything that you've been through. Every hard time, every scary situation, every doubt-creating experience. Remember that God personally goes ahead of each and every one of us, and he already works it out. We just got to trust in him. We got to trust in his leading. He won't abandon you. God's still in control. Maybe, just maybe, God is trying to create a lion-hearted type of faith inside of us. Maybe that's what he's trying to do in your life today. Remember, the trial that you're facing, it's just the object. The situation that you're going through, it's just the conduit. It's during those faith-stretching experiences that God creates life-giving purpose in each and every one of us. Peace is not the absence of fear, but it's the presence of God. This morning, I want to leave us with a few thoughts just as we walk out our week. When we face the challenges to our faith, what are some practical things that we can do this week to stand boldly for God and help us live a lion-hearted type of faith? So go ahead and take those message notes out. If you have that app, go ahead and open it up. Here's number one in facing the challenge to faith. Keep your standards high and your grace deep. Keep your standards high and your grace deep. I believe that we are living in a day and age where living a moral life, it's not always popular. It's not the easy thing to do. The standard of living a life that is bold for the things that you believe in, like God or faith, sometimes they're set pretty low because of tolerance or pushback from people around us. Psalms 119, verses 110 and 112, this is what it says. It says, "Wicked people have set a trap for me, but I have never wandered away from your guiding principles. Your written instructions are mine forever. They are the joy of my heart. I have decided to obey your laws. They offer a reward that never ends." I want all of us to understand something here this morning. I want to be really clear that this is not a talk that gives anyone a license to be holier than thou, okay? This is not a talk or a challenge to make you perfect or to try to make anybody perfect, because we believe that nobody's perfect around here, or a license to give anyone a "you should" attitude, all right? That's just not the culture around here. That's not the situation happening here at Center Church. We're far from it. But I will tell you what this is. This is a call to challenge us to live a life that represents Jesus well, where you work, at home, where you hang out with your friends, no matter where you are. This challenge is for us to keep our standards high, but to keep our grace deep. Living a life that says, "Man, I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to hang out with that crowd because I know it doesn't do any good for me. I'm not going to cheat on my wife. I'm not going to run out on my kids. I'm not going to smoke that. I'm not going to engage in that because I know that it pushes me further away from my relationship with God. I'm not going to be the person who spreads negative talk in my workplace. I'm not going to be that person. I'm not going to live that life. I'm not going to live that way." It's a challenge to live a life that represents Jesus well, man. Keep the standard high, but keep the grace deep. Man, what does that mean? I like to say it like this. When God gives us grace, it's overflowing. God gives us grace, forgiveness. He gives us mercy. He gave us, man, God gives us so much, man. I can be the first to tell you, man, I mess up, and I mess up a lot, all right? And it's usually in my words. I just kind of, it just comes out. I react really easily, or I don't know if it's the Filipino me or whatever. Anyways, but I just, "Oh, what are you saying?" But it's how I react a lot. Something that I struggle with. And I'm so grateful that God gives us so much grace, because I mess up a lot, man. I don't know if that's you, but I mess up a lot. So the challenge here is to keep extra grace change in your pockets, man. Keep those pockets deep full of grace because God's given you so much. Why don't you keep some extra in your pocket so when somebody messes up, you can be like, hey, man, it's okay. I mess up too. I struggle too. Hey, you need grace? I need grace too. Here's a little bit for you today. Living a life that is bold for God, maxed out in a whole bunch of truth, but not balanced with grace, that's not the way that God operated. That's not the way that Jesus operated. The Bible says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Keep your standards high and keep that grace deep. Number two, go ahead and write this down. Accept people without approving of their actions. Accept people without approving of their actions, man. This is actually a really hard one for some people because like, well, you know, what if this and that, and I don't know how to, and let me explain some of these today. But accept people without approving their actions. John 8, verses 10 and 11, this is the New Living Translation, and this is what it says. It's up on the screens. It says, then Jesus stood up again. He said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. I want you to take note of that last part. It said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. This story comes out of a story in the Bible where there was a Samaritan woman who goes to a well. She's getting water. And she is a woman who everyone knows she's living a promiscuous lifestyle. She has five husbands. The one that she's currently living with, you know, he's not one of them. She's just straight ratcheting out, man. She's turning up. She's going all the way in, all right? She's living just this crazy lifestyle, and Jesus knows that. And Jesus takes time to stop and to talk to her. And if you know, culturally, this is actually frowned upon. Everyone's like, man, why is he engaging with her? Why is he talking to that woman? Does he know what she did? Does he know how she lives her life? Does he know her situation? She has five husbands, and the one she's living with, it's not currently one of them. Like, does he know that? Is he crazy? What is he? I thought he was supposed to be this good guy. And you have to understand that Jesus was a Jew. This woman, she was a Samaritan, and historically, Jews did not associate with Samaritans. It was culturally inappropriate. But in love, Jesus accepts her. He even strikes a conversation with her, and he challenges her with a statement that actually calls her up. It calls her out of her immoral lifestyle. He says this, man, neither do I. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. You can accept people without approving of their actions. Man, you can love, you can help, you can encourage, you can lift people up without being tolerant to actions or lifestyles that are actually opposed to God's design for us. And sometimes it means having hard conversations with people, with friends. Can I say this, that today I'm here because I had really hard conversations with people a long time ago. Hey, Josh, I see this red flag in your life. I'm a friend. I'm just letting you know I see that. This is going to lead you to just a really bad lifestyle. It's going to lead you to sin. It's going to lead you to this. It's going to lead you to that. Sometimes it means having hard conversations. I've had those things with some of my very closest friends. And I'm not the best at that, okay? I would be the first to tell you that I'm not good at confrontation. Man, I don't like conflict. Man, I like peace. I'm like, I'm a true, like, Southern California man. Hey, let's just go with the flow, man. Let's wear Baja jackets and just chill. Like, I am not that guy, all right? Let's just go with the flow. And you might be the same way. But in the grand scheme of things, if we want to accept people without approving of their actions, man, we got to realize our comfortability, it pales in comparison to our spiritual accountability to God. God is more concerned with your heart than your comfortability. Accept people without approving their actions. Here's the next one. Number three, communicate with wisdom and kindness. Communicate with wisdom and kindness. Daniel 2, verse number 14, this is what it says. It says, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. Something my wife says to me sometimes when we have intense fellowship, all right, when we kind of have a disagreement or whatever the case may be, is what she says. It's not what you said, it's how you said it. Oh my goodness, like, it's how you said it. It's how you said it. And sometimes when she says it, it actually makes me even more mad sometimes when she says that, but it's so true. All my guys, man, out there, you know what I'm talking about. It's not what you said, it's how you said it. It's a type of reactions and words that we use to communicate, man, that actually pierce. It pierces the heart, it pierces the soul. It's not life-giving, it hurts more than it heals. It doesn't build up, it leaves people feeling broken. And the attitude and tonality of how you handle yourself in certain situations will communicate volumes to the audience that's around you, whether that's your spouse, your kids, your friends, your coworkers, whomever that you're talking to, your tonality. It's important for us to think before we react. I've developed this like little habit when Bree and I have a little scuffle, and this is what I say when we're like arguing about something or if we have an intense fellowship. I say, "Let's stop. I need to think." I'll do it again. I say, "Let's stop. I need to think." And this that little bit of just pause and pause for a second, it gives me this tiny space of access when I'm assessing of why am I reacting this way? Why am I getting so mad? Why am I getting so holier than thou on people? Like, man, you should be doing this, blah, blah, blah. Man, it's because you didn't do that. That's why I reacted that way. It gives me a little bit of wisdom that usually results in a better outcome. I love how the Bible says that Daniel, he handled himself with wisdom and discretion. What if we handled our everyday conversations, our everyday disputes? What if we handled our everyday disagreements with wisdom and kindness? How different would our world be? How different would our home life be? How more healthy, how more enjoyable would our home life be if we reacted or if we just took time to do things in wisdom and discretion or kindness? Bring back the joy in your relationships when you communicate with wisdom and kindness. Number four, go ahead and write this down. Just a couple more this morning and we'll be done. Point people to truth by relating to their struggle. Point people to truth by relating to their struggle. Jude 22 and 23. It's going to be up on the screen. This is what it says. It says, "And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering." Man, show mercy to those who are not solid in their faith. They're having some struggles. Show mercy to those people. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. The best way we can point people to the truth is by relating to their struggles. When we take the mask off, man, we turn off all the social media filters that make our lives look a lot more put together than they actually are. We get real, we get raw about where we are in our hang-ups. We can make our pain more purposeful to help someone out on their journey. I like what Marcus, he said this before, and I think he posted this up somewhere. It was so good, it was powerful. The most powerful words you can ever tell someone is, "Me too. I'm going through that too, man. You struggle, me too. Is that an area of your life where you just feel like you're fumbling a lot? Me too." God's given you certain lines, then moments and seasons of true pain, faith-stretching experiences, faith that has been built up in you through some hard times. And these experiences can really speak life and hope to someone who might be going through their dark valley. And at that time, what they need is someone who can say, "Man, me too. I get it. I understand what you're going through. And this is how I got through that. This is what God taught me through that experience. This is what changed me." And your me too moments with someone just might change their perspective on how God actually operates during a really hard time. You're me too. You know, one of our teens, she just graduated from high school. And she was like, man, we've been walking this season with our teenagers, with the students ministry, my wife and I. And on Wednesday nights, you know, we have a Wednesday Bible study type meeting. We just kind of hang out and pray for things and learn about Jesus. But one of our students, man, for this whole season, I've been noticing, like, every single time we ask for a prayer request, she's like, you know, Josh, can you pray for this? I'm struggling in my schoolwork. I don't know if I'm going to graduate. I'm really behind. And the whole time, just that was the one thing she always prayed for. And I was like, wow, it's big to her, you know. And I remember sharing my experience in school where I was really behind in my schoolwork. I didn't know when I was going to graduate. I was a BC student, you know. Some of you guys are A-plus students. I was a BC student, barely made it by, you know. And I was really behind my senior year. And I remember going to God, like, God, help, because I'm not smart, and I just need your help to get through. And God helped me graduate from high school. I even got my degree, too. And I shared this experience with her. And then a couple weekends ago on the patio, I talked to her dad. And he was like, hey, Josh, I just want to say thanks because, you know, my daughter graduated. And I was like, oh, I saw that, man. Congratulations, so on and so forth. And he said, you know, you shared with her about how you were behind in school and she's going through the same thing. And he said, your testimony to her, what you shared with her, it encouraged her. It kind of lifted up her faith. And it brought her to this place where she trusted God and she worked really hard and she made it. And I look back and I'm so thankful that not only did I go through that experience, but I was able to relate with her in a way that gave her life, that actually helped her make it through high school and graduate and finish. You can point people to truth by relating to their struggle. Last one, and we're done this morning. Paint the picture of what it looks like to come home. Paint the picture of what it looks like to come home. Luke 15 and verse number 20, this is what it says. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The reference here is to the prodigal son. It's a guy who took his inheritance from his dad early. He left home. He wasted all of it. And the Bible says this, that he squandered his wealth on wild living. He went straight cray-cray, all right? If I can give you a modern-day equivalent, it was like The Hangover, but, you know, without the wedding and a whole lot more sandals, all right? He went straight up wild living, and he squandered this whole inheritance in this story. He ends up on the streets, no money for food, no place to stay. He gets hired to feed pigs, and this guy is so down on his luck, he is so just kind of down in his sin that he even desires to eat the food that he's feeding to these pigs. He's in pretty bad shape. That's how it looks like when we're far away from God. That's how it looks like when we operate in ways that are opposite of God's design for us, when we bow down to our desires. It's never enough. Sin never satisfies. It always leaves you feeling empty, and you'll even do some things that you never thought you would just to fulfill an emptiness, and you start to eat with swine. That sin, it leaves you feeling that way. And then the Bible says when he finally came to his senses, he realizes at home, even his dad's servants, man, they're eating way better than him. So he heads home. And while he was a long way off, his dad sees him. The Bible says this. It says that he had compassion for his son. He runs up to him. He throws his arms around him and he kisses him. If you read the rest of the story, the dad tells the servants, man, bring the best robe. Bring the best sandals, man. Put it on his feet. Let's put a ring on his finger. And they put a huge, they threw a huge party for him because his son came home. Even when we are far from home, God is waiting for you with open arms. When you come to your senses, when we come to our senses, He brings the best robe. He puts those Air Jordans on your feet. He puts that 24-carat a ring on your finger, and he throws a huge party for you because that's how much Jesus loves you. There's no condemning. There's no ulterior motive. There's only love. If you didn't get anything else, get this one statement this morning. You can only start to live a lion-hearted life when you're close to the Father. You can only live a lion-hearted life when you're close to the Father. Some of us are far from home this morning. Some of us today, you've strayed super far from the place where you had an intimate relationship with God. Today, God's calling you home. He's waiting at the end of the driveway with arms open, full of love. Some of us need to come home today. I don't know what God is impressing on your heart this morning or how he's speaking to you. I don't know what struggles you're currently facing, but I do know this, that there is a God that wants to deliver you out of what you're going through right now. There is a God that wants to build a lion-hearted type of faith in you. He wants you to keep your standards high, but to keep your grace deep. He wants you to accept people without approving of their actions. He's challenging each and every one of us to communicate with wisdom and kindness. He desires for us to point people to the truth by sharing the purpose of our pain. He's waiting for you to come home. Let me pray for us this morning. God, thank you so much for today and your people that have gathered here this morning. God, and I don't know what you are impressing in someone's heart today. I don't know if they're far from home, they're far from you, and they just needed to hear that challenge today, that you're waiting for them at the end of the driveway with arms wide open. This is the time of the service where we'll give you an opportunity to respond to what you heard this morning. And if you're one that can say, you know what, Josh, I'm really far away from God, and I just need to come home today. If that's you, I would like to pray for you. I don't want to put any pressure on you. I don't want to put any attention on you, but I would love to pray for you this morning. If you can agree with that, if you know that you're far from God or you just need to be bold and stand up a little bit more bold and for what you believe in at work or at home or whatever the case may be, and God's just challenging you to live a lion-hearted type faith. If that's you this morning, if you need to come home, just say, you know, that's me. I want to pray for you. If that's you, will you lift your hand? No one's looking. Yes, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. There in the back, praise God. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. Let me pray for us today. God, thank you so much for those who have said, I need to live a lion-hearted type faith. And I'm far away from God. And I need to come home. God, would you please put your grace and your mercy, your love that overflows, the anointment of God that fills us, that meets our every need. God, would you fill each one who raised their hand and made that decision and said, you know what, God, I'm coming home to you. Would you help them walk out their week in victory? Would you help them to be solid and to be strong in their faith? Because of you, God, we love you so much. Thank you for all you've done. In your name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.